Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday yesterday, full of joy and laughter with family and friends. On this Friday edition of Family Talk, we are bringing you a brand new presentation by a popular guest, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Rabbi Kahn is president of Hope of the World Ministries and serves as the senior pastor and messianic rabbi of the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel in Wayne, New Jersey. He is the New York Times best-selling author of The Harbinger, The Oracle, The Harbinger 2, and more. Rabbi Kahn is an internationally sought-after speaker, having most notably appeared before the U.S. Congress and the United Nations. He and his wife, Renata, have three sons. Here now with a hopeful message about God's sovereignty is Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, here on Family Talk.
It's a joy and an honor to be here. It's a joy and honor to do anything with Dr. Dobson. Long before I wrote the first book, I was blessed by the ministry of Dr. Dobson. I actually remember his name being mentioned in the very first church that I ventured into attending as a Jewish person. It was a film way back in the 1980s. Dr. Dobson has fought the good fight for years. He's a mighty warrior for the kingdom. So it's an honor for me to be here. We are living in most dramatic times, prophetic times. The ground is shifting beneath our feet. We've witnessed things we've never witnessed before. The shutting down of life, cities on fire, a nation divided, the most radical agenda in American history taking over Congress, an agenda to expand the killing of the unborn, the indoctrination of children against the ways of God, and the oppression and canceling of God's word and God's people. We've witnessed America turned at war against America, and a darkness that has fallen on this nation and much of the world. We're witnessing the greatest falling away of faith in the history of the world. And it begs the question, what is going on? And what is it all leading to? Well, we're going to go there today. I was standing at the corner of Ground Zero when my eyes were drawn to a tree that had been struck down on 9/11. That became the first puzzle piece that led to a prophetic mystery that kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger until I was led to write a book, the first book I ever wrote, which you know, The Harbinger. The Harbinger, for those who don't know, reveals a mystery of the biblical template of judgment that came on ancient Israel in the last days of its existence, the nine harbingers or prophetic signs that appeared in the land. And the amazing thing or the stunning thing or what blew me away is that all nine of them have now reappeared on American soil. Warning of judgment, a nation that once knew God but is turning away, beginning with 9/11. When I wrote The Harbinger, I knew the mystery was not over. It was only beginning. Not just the mystery, but the template of judgment. And since the book came out, the manifestations of that biblical mystery, it has not stopped. The harbingers have continued to appear, and they've been coming to pass. I knew that one day I was going to write a sequel, but I could never do it until the time was right. So for 8 years, I held back on it because I knew it could only be at the time. But in the autumn of 2019, after I was here, I was praying about what the next book would be. And it came to me that the time for the sequel or The Harbinger 2 had come. And the year that was about to come, that it would be a year of great shaking and dark events. And the shaking that would come would be the resuming of this template or this mystery of national judgment and shaking. So I had to write the book to get the word out that God's people would know what's happening, where we are going, and what we need to know to prevail. I began writing it in January of 2020. 2 months later, the shakings began. The plague that came to the world, but most dramatically to America. The shakings began. That book, which is The Harbinger 2, is very much appointed for this hour. And I'm going to go from that and to go where we are now and where it's going. The biblical template of judgment is that years before the nations shaking or the nation's really destruction, there comes a warning. Comes in the form of a strike. An enemy attacks the land. It is limited in time and scope, but it's a harbinger of things to come. It's a wake-up call to turn the nation back or give the nation a chance to come back. It happened to ancient Israel in the year 732 BC. It happened when the Assyrians made their first strike on the land. It happened with ancient Judah in the year 605 BC, when the Babylonians made their initial strike. It happened to America on 9/11, and it is from that event that those signs began appearing. And things have never been quite right since 9/11. And there's a reason for it. We are following in the footsteps of ancient Israel. That ancient Israel took after it was warned, instead of coming back to God, it went farther away from God. And there were a number of templates or mysteries that began on 9/11 that I never shared in the Harbinger, but which connect with us now. When shakings, when this template comes to a nation of judgment, its powers are broken. The foundations of those powers are exposed. America's rise to military superpower began most dramatically in the year 1941, the year it entered the Second World War. It came out of that war as the superpower of the world. That same year, a building was begun that would embody America's military power. It was called the Pentagon. On 9/11, the Pentagon was struck and was breached. But when did the Pentagon begin? It began on the summer morning of 1941. Workers gathered on a plot of land by the Potomac River to break ground. What day exactly did the Pentagon begin? The Pentagon was born on September 11th, 9/11. So the ancient biblical template, it was struck on the day of its birth, a warning. The biblical dynamic, the other great power of America from the beginning was its economic power. That power was birthed in New York City. New York City, when was New York City born? It was born on September 11th, the day it was discovered by Henry Hudson. So the prophetic warning is that America's blessings come from God. All of its powers come from God. But if it turns away and wars against God, those powers will collapse. Then there was the scripture. I'm just going to give a little taste because we're going to go what was, what is, and where we are. There was the scripture that from ages past was appointed to be read and proclaimed throughout the world and in New York City in the days leading up to 9/11. It foretold the beginning of national judgment with an enemy coming from a faraway land, coming on the land as an eagle swooping down as happened on 9/11. There was an ancient biblical sound of alarm on the morning of 9/11 that warned of a coming enemy attack in the Bible. It began sounding throughout the northeast of America before it happened. And exactly in the places where the terrorists were, it sounded. And at exact time. For those who don't know the mystery of the Harbinger, it centers on a verse, Isaiah 9:10. Which speaks of the attack of the enemy, the beginning of the shakings of a nation under judgment. When I wrote the Harbinger, I had no idea till after, of something stunning that took place. On the morning of 9/11, before the nation's government, the military, the intelligence had any idea what was going to come, all over America, believers were opening up their Bibles to that scripture. The scripture of the attack of the enemy before the attack came and the beginning of judgment. What was the scripture? Was Isaiah 9:10, the harbinger scripture. It speaks of the enemy striking the land. Why? How did that happen? There's a version of the Bible, I'm sure you know it, called the one-year Bible. The one-year Bible, there's an appointed scripture for every day. Well, if you open up the one-year Bible to the harbinger scripture, the attack on the land, and you look at the top of the page, you'll see a date. The date is September 11th. And the one-year Bible came out in the 1980s. It was there for 16 years in the Bible. And every year on 9/11, believers were opening up to Isaiah 9:10 about the attack on the land. On the day after the calamity, the nation's government gathered on Capitol Hill to issue America's response to the calamity. For those who don't know, the Democratic Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle gave America's response. And as he reached the finale of his address, he said, "There is a word that speaks to us now from Isaiah, and out of his mouth comes the ancient vow of judgment, Isaiah 9:10, that the harbingers that pronounce judgment on a nation that has turned away from God." He had no idea what he was doing. It was prophetic. He was identifying America as turning away from God and the beginning. He had no idea what was going to come, but he spoke it. The harbinger is not just about the signs that come. It's about what the nation will do. Because what it's saying is this. The nation of Israel, when they were warned, instead of coming back to God, they warred against him until their end. What it's warning is of a nation that will not respond with repentance, but with defiance. Instead of returning to God, they turned against him. Well, we have watched since 9/11. We have not gotten better. Since 9/11, remember 9/11, we said, wow, where's America going? But then everybody was saying, God bless America. Well, we thought there could have been a revival. It lasted for 3 weeks because there was no repentance. Without repentance, there cannot be revival. And so instead of getting better, look at where we are now compared to where we were then. We are racing, and the harbingers have continued to appear. I will just give a quick taste of something that happened after I wrote the book. In the summer of 2015, America crossed a line in its fall from God. It was then that the nation's highest court struck down the biblical and historical definition of marriage. Marriage as we have known it is a hedge to any civilization. The date that it was struck down was June 26th. But on the Bible's calendar, it was the 9th of Tammuz, the day when the hedges are removed that protect the civilization. And if not repaired, it leads to calamity. Ancient Israel was given a window of years in which to come back to God, but it didn't. It advanced in apostasy. It called evil good and good evil. It persecuted the people of God. So too America. That is where it's going. If this nation, America, was at a precipice in 9/11, we are in free fall now. We not only have called evil good, but now we are calling good evil. We are moving to the canceling of God's people. To quote, in the last days of ancient Israel, the righteous were persecuted. They were silenced. Well, that is exactly what is happening in our culture right now. So where does it lead? If the nation doesn't turn back to God according to the biblical template, greater shakings will come. In the Harbinger, the first book, the question was asked, and it's answered in the Harbinger too, how long is it in between that time? How long is it from that first strike until the greater shakings? Now, God is not in a box. He can do whatever he pleases, but that's the template. In the case of Jerusalem's judgment, the first strike came 605 BC, when the armies of Babylon struck the land. But the year when the greater shakings began was 586 BC. So from the first strike to the greater shakings, you have 19 years. 19 is the key number. What about America? The strike came in the year 2001. When is the 19th year? The year 2020. The mystery pointed to that year. And for years, I'm looking at that year and saying, is that going to be a year where shakings come? And so it did. That was the year that the chief shaking that came was this virus, the plague, that was called COVID, and then the number 19. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied as what would happen in the 19th year of Israel's shaking. And one of the shakings he foretold would come on the land in the 19th year was the shaking of a plague. So it was in 2020, 19th year, a plague comes upon the land. Now, there's so much more to this, but I want to focus on where we're going here. There is so much behind what is happening in COVID and biblically, but I'm not going to go into it because of the time. But in the Harbinger, the original book, there's a chapter called Things to Come. I look back, I reread it. I often don't have a chance to reread my books, but I read it, and it's talking about the shakings that come in the template of the Bible, of the nation. And what I wrote down was economic disintegration, military defeats, disorder, like civil disorder, division, the collapse of infrastructure, man-made calamities, calamities of nature, decline and fall. We are witnessing every one of them. Now, I'm going to share something that I never put into writing and that I didn't put into the Harbinger or the Harbinger 2 because it's come true afterwards. The initial strike on the land of Israel wasn't carried out just by enemies. It was carried out by terrorists. It was a terrorist strike. The Assyrians who did it are the inventors of terrorism. Every terrorist is linked in some way to the Assyrians. And it seemed that in that window of time since the attack on Israel, since that strike of terrorism, it seemed like Israel beat it back. It was out of the picture. The terrorists were kept at bay. But that was only part of the window of grace that God gave Israel. When the window started nearing its closing, it was all undone. The terrorists returned, this time not to bring a warning strike, this time for destruction. After 9/11, America did what ancient Israel did. It sought to beat back the attack of 9/11 and the terrorists on its own power, though without returning to God. That's the whole thing. It drove the Taliban out of Afghanistan and Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan. And it looked as if it had beaten back the danger. But according to the mystery, it will all be undone. And there will be a defeat that will come. And the terrorists will return. And there will be calamity. So for years, I wonder, will we see happen in Afghanistan, where it all began? When you see the undoing of that, there is a warning in it, an ominous warning, a sign. America, we have witnessed this year, not only the one shaking after the next shaking, but we witnessed America's retreat, disastrous, calamitous, from Afghanistan. And the Taliban return, the undoing of what happened after 9/11. And with the Taliban, Al-Qaeda has returned. And ISIS is there now. For ancient Israel, the return of the terrorists was a sign of coming calamity. Now, remember what I told you about the biblical mystery of the 19 years. 19 years from the first strike to the beginning of greater shakings. When did the overturning of Afghanistan and the return of the terrorists, when did it begin? It began when American officials arrived in Qatar to begin talks with the Taliban to prepare for the Taliban to return and American troops to leave. When was it? When did it happen? On what day did they arrive in Qatar? It happened on September 11th, 2020, 19 years to the exact date. All according to the biblical template. It was all set in motion on that day. America has been racing away from God. If it doesn't turn back according to the template and the ways of God in the Bible, it heads to calamity. That's what the Bible warns. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any nation. Is there hope? The last part of the last book, The Harbinger 2, I wrote, speaks of hope. Can the course of America be changed? And what do you need to know for your own life in the days ahead? If America does not turn back to God, even if it escaped judgment, it would become a totally darkened nation that wars against the light of God without revival, if it doesn't have revival. But there is also a clear warning of judgment. Is there hope? Yes, but the only hope is revival. Revival will only come with repentance and return. I've written how God in past days, even in my lifetime, miraculously turned the course of this nation and the world through one scripture. That scripture is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. With God, all things are possible, but the key words are if and my people. We have to pray for revival, and we have to, as never before, intercede for revival. We have to plead for revival. We actually have to start living in revival, because if we start living in revival, the revival begins with us. We have to choose revival. And beyond that, whatever happens in our culture, whatever happens, regardless of the war against God's people, which you see, you have been given a charge and a calling from God that is unconditional. In good times and bad times, it does not change. Light and dark, we serve the God who gave all for us. He paid the greatest price for us when it was hard, that you could be saved. And so if our culture is growing dark, and the price to stand for righteousness and to shine that light is greater, then let it be greater. If it costs more to be a believer, then let it cost more. Because that's the very thing that's going to bring us to who we were called to be. Because when the dark grows darker, the lights of God must shine brighter. Those are the days that produce the greatest light. And many of you have prayed in your lifetime, I wish I could live in biblical times. I wish I could live in Bible times. Congratulations. You are here now. This is it. You've arrived. Welcome to biblical times. These are the days of Isaiah. These are the days of Jeremiah. It was just like this. These are the days of Ezekiel, a nation that knew God, turning, and then God says, I'm going to call my remnant. You're going to stand. And the days of the apostles. These are the days of Elijah. You know, we have that song. These are the days of Elijah. Not just about miracles. Those were days of facing evil head on, of being bold, of letting the chips fall where they may, and standing for God, because you've got one shot at this. We go through this once. We got to go all out for the Lord. The Lord says, choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Amen. You want the miracles of those days? You want the miracles of the book of Acts? You got to take up the mantle of the book of Acts. You got to take up the price, the cost, the devotion, and you will have the miracles. God is looking. It says the eyes of the Lord are searching the entire earth, looking for the one whose heart is completely his. And he will show himself mighty. You be that one. And don't say, well, I'm this old and I'm that old. It doesn't matter to God. You can pray. You can be a light. Revival can come through any one of you. You have been called and you have been charged as watchmen of this generation. Don't be afraid. If God didn't want you at this time, he would have had you born in the Middle Ages. He's called you to be born now. That means he will appoint you. He's appointed you. He will anoint you. He will strengthen you. You are called for this hour. Take up your stand and God will show himself mighty. These can be the greatest times, the most exciting times. These are the times that produce great men and great women of God. Take up your trumpet. You have been given charge to spread the gospel. And if they tell you, you shut up, you speak even louder. You understand? That's the only thing you can do. Do not fear man, fear God. Man can't do much. God can do everything. Proclaim the gospel of the living God to everyone around you. In the time that we have, be the light you've been called to be. Whether they come or not, you fulfilled your charge. Do not fear what is yet to come. Didn't the word of God say this was all coming? It's all under control. Your God is still on the throne and he has no intention of vacating that throne. He chose you now. What a high honor, what an awesome privilege to be chosen for this hour. You've been chosen to stand in the most exciting part. You know, it's the last 15 minutes of the movie that's the most exciting. Well, we're here. God chose you for the finale. It is time to truly be like David and face the giants and don't fear. Like Elijah to even speak to a nation. And like Paul, who changed the course of an entire empire, one person. It is time not only to read the book of Acts, but actually to live the book of Acts. And God will give you the power to do it, for the eyes of the Lord are searching. You be that one. You be that people. And God will show himself mighty. Stand for God no matter what. Let the chips fall where they may. And you cannot lose. Live bold. Live unafraid. Live all out. Live strong and of good courage. Proclaim his salvation. Whenever they tell you, be quiet, speak louder, because God will anoint you even more. And by God, the gospel of God shall not be canceled, because you cannot cancel God, and you cannot cancel the Messiah, and you cannot cancel the gospel of salvation. God called you, he appointed you, and greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. For thus says the Lord, Kumi ori kiva orech, Uchvod Adonai, Eliach, Zarach, arise, man of God, arise, woman of God, arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Nations are covered with darkness, but the Lord shall rise upon you in the name above every name that is named, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the King of Kings still on the throne, and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen.
Well, what a passionate presentation from our guest today, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, here on Family Talk. You know, Rabbi Kahn is absolutely right. God is always in control. Doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. God is always on his throne. Friend, we hope that as you celebrate this holiday season, you will be encouraged by the truth that God is mighty. His mercies never come to an end, and you, as his son or daughter, are safe in the palm of his hand. Thanks for joining us for Family Talk today. To learn more about Rabbi Jonathan Kahn or to listen to any part of the broadcast that you might have missed, go to drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. That's drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Now, for all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, I'm Roger Marsh. God's blessings to you and your family.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.